Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Throughout the Gospels, it seems that every time Jesus speaks or acts, he's met with opposition by the Pharisees. When Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, the Pharisees are there, responding with questions in order to test him. Whenever Jesus did a miraculous deed, the Pharisees were there complaining that he was overstepping his boundaries, blaspheming, taking authority that didn't really belong to him. Here in our gospel lesson today, the ruler of the Pharisees named Simon invited Jesus to his house to dine on the Sabbath, but he did so in order to watch him closely. Pharisees were there, even at the Sabbath dinner, waiting to see if they could catch Jesus in some kind of error or fault. Again, throughout the Gospels, whenever Jesus speaks or acts, the Pharisees always seem to be right there, ready as a united front to oppose him. But in reality, the Pharisees were not nearly as united as they appeared to be. Sure, when it came to their common enemy, Jesus, they could stand in unison. But when it came to one another, they were just as divided as any other group of men. After all, at the Sabbath dinner, hosted by one of their own rulers, the Pharisees competed with one another for the places of honor. Against Jesus, they could work together. But otherwise, among the Pharisees, it was every man for himself. They knew, just as we do, that no one will take care of you if you don't take care of yourself. They believed, as we often do, that if you don't take that place of honor for yourself, someone else will. We think that way. We believe that way too. Yes, we too can set aside our differences and work together when we are facing a common opponent. Proud Lutherans when we defend biblical morality against the wicked world or false teaching. We oppose false teaching as we find it in erring churches. But what happens when we are discussing things within these walls? The budget? The building? The future? Far too often we set aside our unity, our fellowship, even our love for one another in order to sink our own wants, our own needs, our own honor. Because again, we think, we assume, we believe that if we don't fight for what we know to be right, no one else will. Partisan politics rule the day, and this isn't just out in the world, but far too often in the church as well. On the night of our Lord's betrayal, after he had instituted the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus' disciples began to do what the Pharisees did, and what we so often do also. They disputed amongst themselves as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. It seems rather unbelievable that our Lord Jesus had given them his very body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of their sins. He had told them that he would soon be betrayed by one from their number. And then what do? They argue. They grumble. They bicker with each other about who should be the greatest among them. But really, it's not all that unbelievable at all. We often do the same thing. We come to the Lord's house. We kneel at the Lord's table. We who are many being one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And then we go back to our homes and scheme how we're going to get our way at the next meeting. But here Jesus responds to his disciples, a response that applies to every one of us as well. He said, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus said to the disciples, "Not so with you." the unbelieving world, the Pharisees, they may exercise lordship over one another. They may use the authority they possess for their own personal benefit. They may compete with one another for the places of honor, which are in limited supply. But Jesus says, not so with you. Instead, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He, being greater, did not recline at the table at the night of his betrayal. He did not seek to be served. He was among his disciples as one who served. Thus he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Our Lord was among his disciples, even the night before his death, as one who serves. And therefore, he is the model for us, for the humility we ought to show to one another. He is the model for counting others more significant than we count ourselves, the model for looking not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. For our Lord Jesus Christ, truly God of God, light of light, very God of very God, truly of one substance with the Father, he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And then, as you know, as you confess, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, for you, for us men, for our salvation. The only God and Lord Jesus Christ did not seek his own glory, but yours, by submitting himself unto death. He humbled himself that you would be exalted. He died that you might live. But he who died now lives himself, and he who humbled himself is now exalted by the Father. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, but this rejection led to his death on the cross. But that death was the perfect final sacrifice for our sins, acceptable to God the Father as the atoning sacrifice for the world. And therefore he has been exalted by his Father. He has been raised from the dead. He has been given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The example given by the Gentiles and their kings and by the Pharisees is not to be so with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Jesus says, do not sit down in the place of honor. That is, do not seek your own benefit at the expense of others. Do not consider yourself greater or wiser or better than those around you. Do not honor yourself, lest you begin with shame to take the lowest place. That is, lest you be humbled by God, who is above all. Instead, have the mind of Christ among yourselves. Go and sit in the lowest place. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look to the interests of others. Humble yourselves and seek the glory that comes from God more than the glory that comes from men. And God will exalt you. It was for this reason that his Son Jesus humbled himself for you, not only to serve as your example, but above all, to save you. When Jesus was lifted up from the earth on the cross, he did not plead for his own glory, but rather that you would be saved. Father, forgive them, he prayed. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise, he said. Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross so that you would share in his glory, that you would be exalted by him. We are constantly engaged in the attempt to exalt ourselves at the expense of others. But the only man who is true God, he who rightly deserves glorification and exaltation, gladly and willingly humbled himself so that you would be exalted to heaven. Would you do that for anyone? St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, one will scarcely die for a righteous person. But Jesus is God, and God is love. So Paul continues, and God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus says again, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Christ, who humbled himself for lowly sinners like you, he was likewise exalted, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he wills that you share in that glory. As poor, miserable sinners, you cannot possibly exalt yourself above your lowly state. But by grace through faith, you share in him who was once humbled and is now exalted. Through faith, you are united with Christ as branches to the vine, as a bride to the bridegroom, as a temple to the foundation, as a body to the head. No, you cannot exalt yourself, try as you might. But Christ calls you to share with him. And that exaltation he shares with you by grace carries you far beyond the places of honor that can be found on this earthly realm, places that are even now passing away. And he grants you a seat at the wedding feast of the Lamb himself, the heavenly wedding feast that will never end. And that begins right now, right here on earth. It begins in the waters of holy baptism, where our Lord receives all, even the little children, unto himself. Yes, in baptism we see that it is the weakest, the lowliest, the most insignificant among us that are welcomed, indeed held up by Christ as the greatest among us. And that continues week after week here in the divine service, as you enter the holy house of the Lord, as you begin by taking the lowest place, confessing before God and one another that you are poor, miserable sinners, that you justly deserve both temporal and eternal punishment from God. But in taking that lowest place, it is not long before you hear the most blessed call from God, "Friend, move up higher," as he forgives all your sins for Jesus' sake. As honored guests in the Lord's house, we call upon him for mercy. We confess the Christian faith. We kneel before him in humility and receive a foretaste of the feast to come in the very sacrament of the altar which he gives to us. And we go from this place with God having honored us, having exalted us, having justified us, having pronounced his blessing upon us. And as we come to the holy house of the Lord, as we take the lowest place, as we are then exalted, as we are forgiven, justified, we do so together. We do so as one. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. And therefore it is together, as one, that we confess our sins. Together as one, we receive absolution. Together as one, we pray for mercy. Together as one, we confess the Christian faith. Together as one, we kneel at the Lord's table. We, who are many, being one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We do this together as one, not by our own efforts, reason, or strength, but from what God has spoken to us in his word, from what the Holy Spirit has done in our hearts through that word. By confessing, believing, teaching as one. In other words, the communion, the fellowship that we have here in this congregation flows out of the communion, the fellowship that God has established with us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Believing this, therefore, that we are exalted not by our own works, but rather by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone, believing that we have true unity in the Spirit, that we possess a true bond of peace because we confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and God as one, we then ought to set aside all rivalries with one another and strive to live in unity with one another. Again, Christ has exalted us by his humiliation unto death. He has granted us a place of honor higher than anything that can be found on earth, the place granted to us as sons and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, we ought to work with our fellow Christians in this congregation for the honor of Christ and for the building up of his body, the church. We must continue to confess with one voice the truth of his holy word in the face of not only a hostile world, but also many erring confessions. And with the true unity of the Spirit and love for one another, we ought to build one another up as we deliberate and decide matters here in this congregation among ourselves, seeking not our own way, for our own sake, what we think is best, but rather striving for the good of the church, for the glory of Christ, and for the good of our neighbor. And when we disagree as to what that good might look like or how to achieve it, which will happen, we do not resort to schemes or slander to get our way, but rather together again we humble ourselves under God's holy word and strive to explain everything in the kindest way. Yes, it is indeed the way of men to exercise lordship over one another, to seek the places of honor. But Jesus says, not so with you. And he holds himself before you as your example. He, the highest and most holy, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross for you and for your salvation. Having been justified by grace, love one another. Serve one another in humility. Take the lowest place, for your Lord and Master has prepared a place of honor for you. And he will most certainly come again and take you to himself. He will, on that final judgment day, cry to you, "Friend, move up higher." And then you will be honored along with all who believe in Christ with you. And in that place of honor, you will dwell with the angels and the saints in the presence of your Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father and the Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. We continue.